Fiat. December 28, 1937. Just as redemption served to rescue the dwellings, the kingdom of the divine will serve to place in safety the one who had created them and to return the dwellings to him. How, in each act done in the divine will, God creates his divine life. I kept thinking about the divine will. How many touching scenes before my mind. A Jesus who cries, who prays, who suffers, because he wants to be life of each creature. And a crowd of crippled children, some blind, some mute, some lame, some others paralyzed, and others covered with wounds, such as to arouse pity. And dear Jesus, with a love that he alone can have, running now to one, now to another, holding them close, pressing them to his heart, touching them with his creative hands in order to heal them, and whispering to them so very gently to their hearts. My child, I love you. Receive my love and give me yours. And I will heal you by way of love. My Jesus, my dear life, how much you love us. Now, while I felt suffocated by his love, as he was blowing his burning breath upon me, surprising me, he told me, "Daughter of my love, let me pour myself out, for I can no longer contain myself. How hard it is to love and not to be loved in return. Not having one to whom to tell my surprises of love is the most inexpressible pain for our Supreme Being. Therefore, listen to me. You must know that I came upon earth in order to rescue my dwellings. Man is my dwelling, which I had formed with so much love, and in which, to make it worthy of me, my power and the creative art of my wisdom had concurred. This dwelling was a prodigy of our love and of our divine hands. Now, by withdrawing from our will, our dwelling became unstable and dark, a dwelling for enemies and thieves. What sorrow for us! So, my life down here served to return, to restore, and to rescue this dwelling, which we had formed for ourselves with so much love. It was ours, too. It was befitting to save it, to be able to inhabit it again. Therefore, in order to save it, I used all possible and imaginable remedies. I exposed my very life in order to fortify it and cement it again. I shed all my blood in order to wash it from all the filth. And with my death, I wanted to give it life again, to make it worthy to receive once again, as its inhabitant, the one who had created it. Now, having used all the means in order to save our dwelling, it was also the course for us to place in safety the king who would reside in it. Our love had remained hampered halfway through its rays, as though suspended and obstructed in its course. Therefore, the kingdom of our will place in safety that fiat which had been rejected by the creature, to allow its entrance into its dwelling, so as to let it reign and dominate as the sovereign it is. Saving the dwellings would not be a work worthy of our creative wisdom if we left the one who is supposed to reside in them wandering around, outside, with no kingdom and no dominion. To save the dwellings without saving oneself, unable to inhabit the dwellings that were rescued, would be absurd, as if we did not have enough power to save ourselves. This will never be. If we have the power to save our creative work, we will also have the power to rescue our own life within our work. Oh yes, we will have our kingdom, and we will make unheard of prodigies to have it. Our love will accomplish its course. It will not remain halfway. It will get rid of the shackles and will continue its race, bringing balm to the wounds of the human will. It will adorn these dwellings with divine ornaments, and with its empire it will call our fiat to dwell and reign, giving it all the rights that are due to it. If the kingdom of my will were not certain, why fix and restore the dwellings? Ah, my daughter, you cannot comprehend well what it means not to do our will. All our rights are taken away from us. Many of our divine lives remain suffocated. Our love was and is so great that in each act of the creature, we wanted to create ourselves in order to be loved, to be known, and to have a continuous exchange of life between us and the creatures. But it is impossible to do this without our will. It alone has the power and the virtue of adapting the creature to receive our divine life and to put our love on the way so as to multiply us in the act of the creature. You must know that in each act she does in our will, an irresistible force calls us, and we look at her. We reflect ourselves in her, and with irresistible love, we create our life. And if you knew what it means to create our life. There is such a great display of love that in our emphasis of love, we say, ah, the creature has allowed us to form our life in her act. We feel the equality with our love, sanctity, and glory, and we anxiously await the continuous repetition of our acts in our will in order to repeat our life, to have in her act ourselves loving and glorifying ourselves. Only then do we fulfill the true purpose of creation, that everything would serve us. Even the littlest act of the creature serves to repeat our life and to make a display of our love. Therefore, the living in our volition will be everything for us and everything for the creature.